We're heading to the Baron's mansion.
What was all that about?
Gotta be the internal auto-destructs. We've been out of the wags for more than 4 hours. By now, all the mines should have blown. Traitor must have told Zeal and Shabazz about him. That he had to disarm them or the whole convoy was going to go up.
I can't believe those two pirates let him inside the wags all by himself. How the hell did he pull that off?
A smooth-talking son of a bitch. That's Traitor.
More like he gets you in an arm lock than puts on the pressure until something goes snap.
Yeah, it ain't exactly fair, is it? Almost makes you feel sort of sorry for the thieving, chilling bastards.
I wouldn't go that far.
I said almost.
Which wag has got the cases of C4?
Ryan pointed to one of the smaller transports parked in the lot closest to them. The lot that hadn't been cratered.
It's in that one. I know because I watched JB pack it in himself. He's real particular about how his Hi-X rides.
Figure there's enough to do the job we got in mind?
I don't know. JB would know that better than me. I guess there must be at least 50 pounds of this stuff in the wag, and plenty of rigging wire, blasting caps, and pre-dark detonators. We aren't gonna leave any explosive behind. Take it all, use it all. You've seen the fuel plant. It's huge. If it takes more than that to bring it crashing down, I suppose we're shit out of luck.
Gotta add in the gas that's already stored there. Plenty more explosive potential. I figure we can make a mighty big boom with what we've got, especially if we're crafty about where we place the charges inside the refinery.
Major fireball.
What about the folks in the Ville?
What about them?
Big blast could do them some bad damage, too. Especially if you're planning on making the gasoline catch fire and explode. Whole Ville could burn down.
We're not planning on touching off the C4. It's a last resort, just in case we can't come to an agreement with Zeal. And I'm thinking maybe the Baron might want to look-see at our mining job. Just to make sure we're not trying to skin him with nothing but hot air. If it comes to that, he's got to find a real threat to his refinery or we're goners, and so is Traitor and the rest of the crew.
I see what you mean.
Ryan wasn't paying much attention to their discussion. He was watching the segment along the tape barrier, trying to figure out a way to get past them to the transport wag without being seen. The trouble was, the barrier was set up a good way from the parking lots, which left a stretch of open ground they would have to cross even after they reached the tape, allowing the segment plenty of time to aim and fire. On the upside, there wasn't much available light, only the shifting glow given off by trash fires the guards had lit in 55-gallon drums. The fires were few and far between, and the area they lit up wasn't large.
If we're seen going in and the segment raise an alarm, I figure they won't shoot at us for fear of hitting the wags and setting off another big blast. But if they see us going in, they'll be waiting for us to come out, and their blasters will be masked. In which case, we're chilled. We've got to find the weak spot, or make one.
Poet smiled, as though he thought something had finally sunk in. A day before, that same grin would have made Ryan want to lay hands on the man. Funny thing, though, now it didn't seem so insufferable. Now it seemed like the war captain was actually proud of his progress.
Okay. Go on.
We can't raise a ruckus, either. We don't want anybody to know we've been in there until after we get the charges set.
Hard set of problems there. One piled on top of the next. How do you figure to solve them?
Ryan smiled.
Crying shame about the Gaudis.
Yeah, so you've said. Like 10 times.
Hey, there's nothing else to do out here. What the hell's the Baron thinking, giving us 4 whole blocks to guard?
Yeah, at least those guys down the block got an oil drum.
Lucky bastards. Keeps them occupied. Gives them something hot to poke.
Yeah. I could use me something hot to poke.
Pizza Man was my favorite. I'm telling you, that Gaudy had the best beer in the whole damn Ville. Pizza Man, you'd never find something nasty at the bottom of your glass. Nothing with legs, anyway.
Yep, good beer.
Yeah, there were some friendly women there, too. Not much to look at. Seen trash can lids with more sex appeal. But real friendly. Even if you didn't have a zeely to spend on them.
Yeah, friendly.
You know, I seen the bodies carried out, and then had me a look-see at the place before we got the order to pull back. Man, there was nothing left inside the walls. Just heaps of crushed concrete block and broken glass. You think all the sluts got chilled? Oh, man, that would be a shame. Kind of chokes me up, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, me too.
But it was quick. You gotta figure it was quick. There's mercy in that. Right? Right?
The sec man turned. What he saw beside him was a woman with short green hair and a fierce expression, her teeth bared like an animal, stepping out from behind the other guard. The Sekhman's armor vest was sheeting blood from a throat cut ear to ear.
Hi, I need something hot to poke. Look, your throat looks good enough. Hey, can I get a little help moving these guys?
On it.
In barely a moment, both Ryan and Poet had shoved the bodies aside and taken their hats and vests. Ryan crossed into the taped-off area, keeping to the deep shadows. When he reached the small transport, he moved to the backside. He crawled in under it and found the cover plate for the external mines. He tripped the switch, then crawled out again. After tapping in the lock release code, he opened the well-greased starboard side and slipped inside. Because the gun ports along the corridor were unblocked, he couldn't risk a light. He fumbled his way down the narrow hallway toward the cargo hold. His fingers grazed the bulkhead door. Before he opened it, he felt along the adjoining wall for the crowbar that was mounted on a clip bracket. Inside the cargo bay, it was so dark that Ryan had a moment of complete disorientation. Reaching out to grip the door jamb, he forced himself to remember the layout of the hold. Only when he had it clearly in his mind did he proceed. He felt his way down a narrow aisle, passing his hands over stacks of crates and drums as he moved toward the middle of the cargo area, where he'd seen JB working. He remembered that there had been drums lined up on either side. His fingers found drum lids, then a gap, then more drums. He retraced his steps. Leaning over the rims of the barrels, he touched the tops of two wooden crates, laid side by side. Because of the surrounding heavy drums, they were well braced in place. Using the tip of the pry bar, Ryan popped open the nearest crate and slid his hand inside. After brushing aside the Excelsior packing material, he felt rows of solid blocks, individually packaged in oiled paper.
C4. Thank you, JB.
Doc Tanner sat huddled on the floor in the far corner of his cell, with his forehead resting on his knees and both arms wrapped around his shins. The light from a guttering candle on the barred windowsill cast bizarre shapes around the bleak prison chamber, dancing spirit forms. Doc's mind, because it was a rational organ, and because it belonged to a man well-trained in making sense of nothing, took those fleeting erratic movements and made them into things familiar, while tears rolled down his cheeks. Only when the candle finally burned out did he regain his sense of surroundings. He was plunged back into the dank and musty cell, oppressed by the weight of the iron collar and chain that bound him to the ring set in the wall above his head.
Oh, if this is life, then life itself has no meaning. Is there no reason for this existence's myriad cruelties? Have I suffered so for nothing? Tell me! I need to hear! God! Oh, God! No. Lord, I have prayed to you hourly to bring about the moment of my death, that I might be delivered from the hands of these malefactors. And you answer me not. Tomorrow, however, I will most likely die. When the doors of Spearpoint part at my command, Zeal and Shabazz will surely have me killed. Then I will see at last. I will see whether there is an intelligence behind all this torment, this unspeakable evil, or whether it is merely an engine, a machine running without an operator, the grim embodiment of Descartes' mathematical universe. Deep in my heart, I now believe that I will find only oblivion on the other side of the eternal gate. No welcoming arms of Emily, no Rachel, no Jolyon. After all this, after all I have suffered, all that I have lost,
I tell you now, God who never answers, oblivion will do very nicely.
With that, Duck Tanner closed his eyes. In his endlessly long life, this was his darkest hour. The terrible weight of it seemed to suck the energy from his body. Exhausted, he slipped into a heavy, dreamless sleep.